How are you guys?
Very well.
Yeah, very good. Thanks very much for having us on.
Did you think that you would be sitting in radio stations talking about your left nut?
Do you know what? See, when I was a kid, this was exactly where I wanted my life to be. No, it's been crazy. We never thought this would ever happen.
Can we go back to the start then? And when, well, first of all, when you guys met?
So we met at university. We went to Churchill College at Cambridge. I went to study science and Oisin studied politics. And we met when we co-ran the University Irish Society together.
All right, so hey, you're Irish, I'm Irish, let's be friends.
When you're an Irishman abroad, you gravitate to any accent you hear. You're like, oh my God, you're Irish as well, come on. Can we just speak quickly for once? Yeah.
We must do a play immediately about one of your testicles. That's what every Irish person does. So how then from running that society did you get to the point where this came up in conversation? I can't imagine it's the first thing out of your mouth.
Well, you'd be surprised. No, so after we did a lot of plays together at university. And then after we graduated, I went and trained as an actor, and Oisin went and trained as a filmmaker. And then after that, we moved back to Belfast together. And it wasn't until last year, there was a program called Show in a Bag, and they helped actors write their own plays. So I went to Oisin, I said, Oisin, we should write a play. And I had this big list of ideas about sandwiches. I wanted to write a play about sandwiches. I was convinced this was the idea. And I was like, we're going to make sandwiches for the audience. And we're going to talk about sandwiches. And Oisin's like, right, okay.
That's not a play. That's a deli counter.
So then we said, you know what? We're not going to apply for Show in a Bag because we don't have any ideas.
Right.
And then we went to the pub and got very drunk. And I started telling Oisin all about my giant testicle, which I had as a teenager.
Okay, well, let's tell the story then. Take us back. You're 14 or 15. What's going on?
I develop a lump on my testicle and I don't know what it is and I don't tell anyone because my father passed away when I was quite young and I didn't really want to be talking to my ma about testicles.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going through changes at that stage anyway, so maybe it was normal and maybe I'm just getting worried about nothing.
Mm.
And it sort of left it alone for about 3 years and it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and eventually it was the size of a can of Coke.
Oh my God. And how did you hide it?
Not very well. I thought I was hiding it. I thought I was really crafty, you know, and no one noticed, but all my mates could see it. Like, you could clearly see it through my trousers. And all my mates just thought I was very well endowed and were very jealous.
Did you not have any, you didn't have any older brother or an uncle or a friend or even that you would confide in?
No, so I have an older sister, so I'm not going to talk to her about it either. I mean, I have a lot of cousins that I'm very close to, but it was just not something I wanted to...
Yeah, I think you'd have to be very brave at that age to bring up what could be, for all you know, something quite normal. You know?
Was there any crazy thoughts that went through your head as to why this was happening? Like,
oh yeah, I mean, I thought it was, I mean, I know we're out on the radio, but I thought it may have been punishment for a sinful act.
All right.
So to say.
And was it sore at all?
No, this was the thing, because it ended up being a hydrocele, which is a buildup of fluid. And because of that, it was just fluid surrounding. So it was almost like it was cushioned.
Right.
So, you know, whenever I found out it was nothing before I got surgery, we used to all joke about it and I would tap away on it like a bongo.
I was going to say, you got it's kind of like a superpower. Kick me as hard as you want. I'm made of steel.
So what age were you when you finally went to your GP and how did you come to that stage where you went, okay, I need to sort this?
I think I was about 17 when I first went to the GP.
And did you try any, cause like I know so many people who had, say, even acne, and they tried all these kind of old wives' tales to get rid of. Did you try it in crazy?
Oh, trying everything, like ice, cold showers, hot baths, you know, rubbing every cream I could find in the bathroom, honestly, no matter what it is, whether it's for acne or moisturizer.
Sif.
Or
just rub whatever you want.
Still it bang.
And the dirt is gone. Bang and the lump is gone. It's actually pretty effective if you could market that one.
Was there a story of you trying holy water?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Everything going, just sprinkling it on and everything.
As long as you didn't dip it in the font.
No fonts were desecrated.
I mean, it must have been kind of terrifying.
It was, yeah. I laugh about it now because I know it's all fine and the play is a comedy, but there was times I was lying in bed crying and all, and so many times I went to tell my mother or went to phone the doctor and was this close doing it and then chickened out. And I think another thing was because my father died of an illness, dead of motor neuron disease, not testicular cancer or anything, but it was a serious illness. I think that kind of held me back because I saw what he went through.
Mm.
And I'm like, I know what he went through, and if I admit to myself that I have a problem, then I might have to go through that, right, so I'm blocking it out.
So it's one thing having a story to tell in the pub. How do you then turn that into a one-man play?
So basically, I wrote the first draft on my own because it was my story.
Yeah.
So the two things I did was I met up with all my mates from school when they were home at Easter time, and I says, right, tell me everything you remember about that period.
Okay.
And then what I did was I interviewed my mother, and I interviewed her about my dad. and about the process that he went through. Oh. That ended up in the play, word for word. So all the stuff that my mother speaks, the sort of the journey of this play is me coming to terms with my illness through coming to terms with my father's death is the sort of arc of the play.
But did we just say one man play? So are you playing
I play
mother?
My mother, I play my mates from school, I play everybody.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So that's... That ended up first in the play after my interview with my mum. That's straight in the play. All the anecdotes of my friends. And then I wrote the story because it's my story. And then myself and Oisín went up to Donegal for a long weekend. We bashed it about and changed it and cut it down and cut it down and bashed it. And my first draft was about 4 hours long.
That's a hell of a play. I remember on the drive up from Belfast to Donegal, I was like, sure, I'll read the play now. You know, it should be an hour or whatever. Yeah. And the drive up to Donegal was like 2.5 hours or something like that. And then I got up there and it was still not finished. I was like, okay, so you see this this entire 40-minute section where you're masturbating? That might need to be shortened a bit. So we spent the whole weekend sort of just bashing through it. And we actually started to write it scene by scene then.
And Oisín, had you directed before? I mean, you know, you're a filmmaker, but had you directed a stage play?
I directed Mick in quite a few plays over in Cambridge and when he was back in Belfast, and I'd started doing a bit of assistant directing in the Lyric Theatre up in Belfast and things, so it was a good challenge to do it with a mate, and it's to have such an intimate story to tell as well. It was lovely to be involved at such an early part of the process. Yeah.
So this is a big tour, nationwide tour. Mm-hmm. You're going to be going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, big deal as well. They saw you in action and invited you over, which is great. Obviously, you know, it's a comedic enterprise and you are handling the subject matter through comedy, which is a great way of communicating a message. But there is a message in it and there is a serious side to it, isn't it? I mean, you were lucky in that your issue wasn't life-threatening in the end, but it could have been different, couldn't it?
Could have been very different. And that is one of the things we're trying to sort of promote with the show, is the idea of men don't talk about anything. It is through comedy, but there is that serious note.
And you'd be surprised, there's actually a lot of guys who are coming up to us since we've been putting the play on saying, you know, I had something similar and I found it difficult to talk about it. And I think when you just point the finger at it and laugh about it, it kind of opens up the conversation a bit.
We were doing some workshops up in Belfast with the Lyric Theatre with these lads on probation. These are hard lads, like just out of prison and all. And we did the show, and then afterwards they're chatting about it, and one of the lads is like, I had the exact same thing. I've never told anyone about this in my life, but I had that happen to me when I was a kid. And these lads are opening up and who've never, you know, opened up before, because it's a comedy, because it's so lighthearted and we're all laughing at it and oh, how stupid we were for not talking.
Yeah.
Then it gets people talking.
It's
great.
It's great.
So more talking, less holy water.
Yeah.
That's the message.
Combine the two.
So where can people see My Left Nut, the fantastic play that's hitting the road?
Yeah, so we're in Dublin in Bewley's Cafe Theatre and Powers Court Centre for the next month. So we're here for 4 weeks. That's a lunchtime show every lunchtime at 1 o'clock. And then we're going to the Whale Theatre in Greystones, the Bell Table in Limerick, the Hawks Whale Theatre in Sligo, the Angreenan Theatre in Letterkenny, Riverbank Arts Centre in Newbridge, Town Hall Theatre in Galway, Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary, the Listowel Writers Festival in Kerry, and the Carlow Arts Festival, finally.
I crept the boards in the Bell Table Theatre in Limerick.
Oh, brilliant.
I had two lines, and it was, Miss Lydia. And then it was, would you like a drink, Miss Lydia? That was it. So
fantastic.
I'm guessing you've more than two lines in yours.
I think we've at least three. At least, might be more.
Michael Patrick and Oisín Carney, thanks so much for dropping into us. Best of luck with the show. It sounds fantastic and a very important message as well.
Thanks very much.
Cheers,
thanks for having us on.
Dermot and Dave on Today FM.